Welcome, everyone. This is Emmy for another episode of the Counseling Corner. And today, the topic is on toxic relationships. Gabby, being a licensed married family therapist, is the knowledgeable one around this area. So I'll just kick it in whenever, I don't know, whenever I feel like I have something relevant to say. So Gabby, you want to start it off?
Yeah, absolutely. Emmy always downplays all the things she knows. And then she hits us with the knowledge halfway through. So like Emmy said, we're going to be talking about toxic relationships, which, you know, I think toxic is a word that we've been hearing a lot on social medias, on television shows. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, people being toxic or relationships being toxic. And I think that information is very catchy right now. And it's one of the things that I'm always very cautious when talking about online, only because there is so much to explain about toxic relationships. And if your partner has a toxic trait or a toxic reaction to something, that doesn't necessarily mean you're in a toxic relationship. That might mean there's something to work on, right? So it's a culmination of these, what we would call red flags, that really mean you're in a toxic relationship. And, you know, as we kind of talk about the red flags, I jotted some down that I think are important to name. As we talk about the red flags, I mean, we'll kind of get into whether, you know, if this is the only thing happening, you're probably not in a toxic relationship. Your partner has something to work on, you know? So just to name a few, right? Which, again, we're taking these with a grain of salt. These are toxic traits that when put together, you know, if you have a chunk of them, it's likely that you're in a toxic relationship.
That's great, Gabby. And I love that you pointed that out because, see, I would have never thought of that. So yeah, great. Okay, perfect.
Okay, go ahead. So, you know, I think one of the easiest ways to see if you're in a toxic relationship is really taking account how you feel. If you feel uneasy, if you feel in a constant state of uneasiness with your partner, if there isn't that comfortable, safe feeling when you're with them, it's a good time to ask yourself why, right? Like, what's the cause of this uneasy feeling that I have? That's a good place to start. It could be something else. But if when you ask yourself what the cause of that uneasy feeling is, a lot of it is coming from your significant other, that's a red flag. You know, that's something to look at. That's something to look into. Let's you know, dig a little deeper. If your partner, your significant other makes you feel like no matter what you're doing, it's always seems to be the wrong thing. So like, no matter how hard you try, it's never going to be enough to please your partner. You feel like you're in an endless battle to please them, to do something that'll make them happy. And no matter what it is, it's seemingly never enough with them. If you feel like you can't picture a time where you do something and they're not going to be mad, where like, even when you surprise them with something nice, you're scared that your significant other is going to be upset about something. That's another red flag. If your significant other always finds something wrong with you. So like, if they're giving you unsolicited suggestions to improve yourself constantly, right, where you're not asking them, or what do you think of this? Or I'm going to wear this. What do you think? If they're constantly giving you just unsolicited advice, that's not how you should be doing that. You should do it this way. This way's easier. You're going to mess it up that way. This kind of like constant idea that, again, much like the last red flag we talked about, you can't do anything right. Another one is when a partner undermines your career or your studies or kind of any course you might be taking, anything you might be doing to better your life, if they undermine that, So it's, you know, they're dismissive of it. Like, oh, so you have a master's, not a doctorate. Like, that's all you need? Oh, you did a course for this? Is that really, like, does that really do what you need here? You know, or if you get if something exciting happens at work, you get a raise, you get a promotion, they're just undermining it. They're not making it, you know, your partner should be celebrating these goals that you have for yourself and these accomplishments. And if they're kind of dismissive of them, almost like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. I mean, you can always do better, right? You know, it's kind of like this pushing you down. That's another red flag. If a partner is slowly chipping away at your self-esteem, and a few things we've mentioned already does that, but in a very general sense, like, is that what you're wearing? I don't like how that dress looks on you. I don't like how that shirt looks on you. You need to get a haircut. I don't like the way that haircut came out. Why are you wearing so much makeup? You should probably wear more makeup. So all of these little things that just like slowly chip away at your self-esteem that can be kind of overlooked as, oh, he's, you know, he or she is just trying to help. He or she is just trying to make sure I look my best. But in reality, they're just slowly breaking you down.
Got it.
Let's see, what's another red flag? A very clear imbalance in of power, right? So where if you ask yourself, who has the most power in this relationship? If it's relatively easy for you to answer that your significant other does, that's a big red flag.
Okay.
It's a big red flag, and nobody knows it better than you, right? You can kind of, if it comes up for you quickly and you don't have to do a lot of analysis, big red flag.
Okay.
So this is one where I really want people to approach this with a grain of salt, because a very controlling partner or a lot of jealousy, right? So this is very dependent on how they approach this, right? So if your partner's telling you, I feel a little uncomfortable about you going clubbing until 4 in the morning with your friends, I don't like how that feels. I don't necessarily think that's controlling, right? I don't necessarily think that your partner is telling you what you can and can't do. That's a conversation about something they don't feel comfortable with. You can find some middle ground there, right? If your partner is telling you, like, hey, I have a past, which we talked about a little bit last time where we were talking about trust issues, right? That brings about a lot of jealousy. If your partner is able to communicate that, like, listen, I have a tough past when it comes to this. So I'm going to need a little more support. You know, I might doubt you or question you more than you deserve because of my past. These are the ways in which you can help me out, right? That's the right way to go about jealousy. That's the right way to go about trust issues. But if your partner is absolutely flipping out because you glance at someone passing by, they cause a fight that ruins the whole night, that's a big red flag, right? If they are convincing you that you glanced at the table next to us and that you must have been glancing at that woman, you must have been checking out that man, and really will just harp on that, that's a big red flag. If your partner is telling you, you know, you're not going out wearing that, that's a big red flag. That is controlling, right?
Okay.
But those little differences, I think, is what's confusing when you just say, if your partner's jealous or controlling,
Right.
there's a lot that you can attach to those words that aren't necessarily toxic.
Correct. So, what about someone that has a mental health disorder, like somebody that's bipolar, for example, or tends to be depressed or that has a diagnosed mental health disorder in
Great
the
question,
relationship?
Emmy. Great question. So, I mean,
I'm sorry, because it's difficult to gauge, I guess, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that sometimes mental health disorders will make you or make you more prone to being toxic within relationships. Right?
Right.
I don't think that as the partner of somebody with this disorder, you should be responsible to forgive or accept or help these people be less toxic, right? We should be taking responsibility for our actions and our problems. Okay. You know, just like Emmy, if you feel bad, if you have a cold and it's lasting too long, you go to the doctor. If something's going on in your body that you feel off, you'll go to the doctor. It's the same thing. I think that it's pretty clear when there is a toxic cycle, when you're making the same mistakes. And especially here, you know, in America, there is a lot of help that you can get. And so with mental health disorders, you know, maybe it's an unpopular opinion, but I think that if you are not getting help and you are being toxic in a relationship and you are diagnosed with something that, you know, tends to lend itself to these patterns, that's not your partner's fault, right? That's not your partner's weight to carry, right? You should be working on this. You should be gaining the tools, working through this stuff, having an outlet, and it makes a big difference.
Okay. So taking responsibility like you would for your physical health, taking responsibility for your mental health.
Exactly.
In a relationship.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And I don't think a diagnosis should, you know, should be an excuse for treating someone badly or making someone feel bad about themselves. Or, you know, you shouldn't be excusing your partner like, well, they're diagnosed with this and this is why they are toxic in all of these ways. You know,
okay.
If they're getting help for these things that they're doing, maybe there's some leeway there. But, you know, it all depends on what it is that's happening and what it's leading to. Like, there are some things that are just unacceptable, like abuse, for example.
Got it.
Yeah.
So what about in relationships with, is toxic relationships strictly with, I'm sorry. That was the phone. I don't know if you heard it.
Nope.
Good. Okay.
Good.
Let me put it on airplane mode here. So if somebody is toxic relationship only referred to in a relationship with a partner, or is it also in relationships with a parent child relationship or a friend relationship? Or
it could be with anyone.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the stuff that we spoke about previously, if it's happening with a friendship or with a partner, with a sister, a brother, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a lot of the things are the same. If they're constantly putting you down, if you feel uneasy around them, if you feel like no matter what you're doing, you're not going to be able to please them, this person, like that's seemingly toxic. You know, these are toxic traits in relationships. So it doesn't matter, friend, partner, parent, a lot of the ones that we're talking about here are more strictly towards relationships.
Right.
Because I think that that is, that's something that we're seeing a lot more often now.
Okay.
But you know, your behavior can be a red flag too, right? So if, you know, one big one, for example, is if you're not engaging in self-care. If you're not doing the things that you know make you feel good, if you stop working out, you stop taking care of yourself, you stop doing your hair, you stop going to the barber, you stop going to see your therapist, you stop caring about your health in any way, that's a big red flag.
Okay.
You know, seeing that in yourself is a big red flag. And it could be a red flag about something happening outside of yourself, you know, your relationship, for example. Another thing is if you feel like it's only when you're about to leave them, or it's only when you're stepping away from the friendship, the relationship, or the family member, that they start to try, that they start to be kind, that it's almost like they would move mountains. They're suddenly being this incredible person that you've always wanted, right? Those little moments give you hope.
Right.
And, you know, to piggyback on that, if you're constantly hoping, mm-hmm. if you're in a constant state of hoping that who they are when they're trying to make sure you don't walk away is who they can be constantly, if you're in a constant state of hoping or waiting for them to change, that's a big red flag.
Okay.
You know, it's unlikely that that would happen. If you feel very insecure is another one, right? This is another one that you take with a grain of salt. If your partner doesn't give you compliments, doesn't make you feel good about yourself, doesn't tell you how much they care about you, doesn't talk mm-hmm. about their feelings for you, that's a little bit of a red flag.
Okay.
Right? It's not something that should make you walk away from a relationship or call it toxic if that's the only thing happening.
Right?
We're conditioned to certain things, and these are things that can be worked on. But in conjunction with everything else, you know, it's something added to the list.
Got it.
You know, stonewalling, somebody not taking responsibility mm-hmm. for their actions. So, you know, if I threw something at the wall, it's your fault for making me very angry. Right? If I caused a scene at a restaurant and stormed out, it's your fault for getting me all worked up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and these are just small examples, right? But there's always an excuse that makes it your fault. That's a big red flag. If they're stonewalling you, right? So if you're trying to talk about important things, like if you're trying to have a serious conversation about intimacy, lack of intimacy, if you're trying to have a serious conversation about spending more time together, about your partner going out all the time until 4 a.m. or drinking too much, and they're stonewalling you, like, you always pick the worst times to talk about this stuff, like, this is ridiculous, you're always trying to have a serious conversation, and they just brush you off constantly.
Got it. So what if someone sees these red flags in their relationship, okay? How do they know it? What can they do about it? Can they go see couples counseling, or is it at the point where, okay, this is, we can't, you know, it's not sustainable in a relationship to continue right. the relationship?
You know, it depends. I think it depends very, very heavily on the specific situation. If you are hearing, you know, if you're out there in listener land and you're hearing everything we just talked about, and you can check off almost every single one we've mentioned and tie it to your partner, that might not be a relationship worth working on.
Okay.
Right? There's very little good in that relationship to hold on to. That might just be the toxicity and you feeling insecure because of this partner that's keeping you there. And that's never a good excuse, you know, a good reason to stay. I think if you can kind of tie yourself to two or three of these, tie your relationship to two or three of these loosely, go get some help. Go talk to someone. Sometimes therapy can be really eye-opening also. You know, sometimes right. therapy can help you recognize, like, okay, there's no going back here, or it's worse than I thought, or it's not as bad as I thought, you know? Having a third party there kind of talking you through it, helping you unpack whatever it is you're feeling is helpful. But again, whether you're going to work on it or not, it's just heavily dependent on what it is that's going on specifically in your relationship. I do think there are like we talked about earlier, things that are unforgivable, like abuse.
Right. Okay.
But other than that, there's no harm in going to see someone and, you know, kind of getting their take on things. It'll open your eyes at the very least.
Right. Okay, so I love this. One of the reasons that I had mentioned doing it on a toxic relationship is because one of my clients had recommended that we had asked that we do a podcast on this. And so I'm wondering if, well, what are the, like some final notes for clients to, for people out there to listen to, so that they can decide, okay, this is where I need to go with this.
Yeah. I mean, I think in closing out, the most important thing is to be checking in with yourself, right? These relationships are easier to leave if you catch it early on, right? Once you're in it very deeply, it's still very possible to walk away, but it takes a little more help. It's going to be a little more painful. So try to look out for these red flags from the get-go, right? Like really question whether they're being helpful or just kind of a-holes, you know? Where do you feel anxious, drained, bad, cautious around them? These are big, big, big signs that something's off, right? If you feel emotional around them. I think if you're more in tune with yourself, you'll see these things much more clearly. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would say, to check in with yourself more often, see how you're feeling, and let that lead you to more questions. What's making me feel like this?
Right. Now, some people, and I mean, I don't know this for a fact. I've just seen it from not from a professional environment or because it's not the work that I do, but from friends, and tend to be the type that are attracted to people with this, with these type of traits.
Yeah.
So how can you tell if you're one, if you've like been in one relationship after another, and it's the same type. It's from one toxic relationship to another.
Yeah.
Do you see that in your practice? I mean, I'm just saying from like friends and people, you know, not from a professional.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because I always say, and you know, it started off as a joke, but I realize that there's a lot of truth to it. I always say that in the beginning, when you first meet someone, narcissism is attractive, right? Narcissists are very attractive in the beginning. They're so sure of themselves. Mm-hmm. They carry themselves with such like, God, you could really tell that they believe in everything they're saying and they're doing. And that passion is attractive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
It's not until later that you start to see that that passion, in order for it to be so strong and overpowering and overwhelming and attractive, it's going to push you down on the way up.
Okay.
Right. And so I think that in these scenarios, listen, every book about the bad boy that turns good, the super successful man that was a player but leaves everything for you, every love story that we hear about, right, kind of has this underlying tone, like this very successful, amazing man, sometimes a little grumpy and not nice to everyone, changes his ways for you, right? We've, as a society, really romanticized that stories. And I am guilty of loving these books, all these smutty books about these men that were awful until they met you. And I think that a big part of what women like is, you know, witnessing toxic relationships in their families, in their upbringing. And you learn to love and you learn to receive love in a certain way. And so, I mean, I think everyone who grew up around any kind of toxic relationship might struggle with this a little bit. And it takes a lot of understanding where it came from, working through it all. I always come to the same conclusion, but like therapy is the best thing for it, right? Therapy is the best thing to unpack everything that has happened and recognize where these attractions are coming from and being more picky about what you like, because you don't have to negate everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like if your father or your mother was very passionate and loved the arts and was very, very flirtatious and a wordsmith, there's a lot of good in there, but there's also a lot of bad in there. So it helps you pick and choose. Like, I like that they loved the arts and I like that they're wordsmiths and very intelligent and they, you know, write poetry and say beautiful things, but I don't like that they're very flirtatious and I don't like that they did it with just anyone, right? Mm-hmm. They shared that with just anyone. So you kind of pick and choose who you go for. But seeing these patterns, I guess to answer your question a roundabout way, mm-hmm. seeing these patterns in yourself constantly going for the wrong guy is just a sign that there's something you're looking for or something you're ignoring, right? Red flags. Let's figure out why you're attracted to these things. Let's see where that started and how it continued and how you kind of just never let that go.
And it can be, it's not only women, right? It can also be men that fall into that same.
Yeah, absolutely. Type of, you know, like I was saying, it could be either way. If you witness a certain partner in your mother or in your grandmother or anybody who raised you, if they were, extremely volatile, constantly yelling, you know, putting your father down, or that might be what you end up seeking because you correlate love with mother's love, right? That's the first thing we think about.
Right.
And you seek, you know, we seek partners like our parents. It's something that we've talked a lot about, mm-hmm. I think in psychology in a general sense. And that's a big sign, male or female, you know, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, I think it's good. Anything else to add before we wrap up?
No, I think we said a lot of it. You know, there's a lot to talk about here. And again, I don't want anybody tying themselves to labeling their relationship toxic because they could kind of relate to one or two things here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to unpack in toxic relationships. And so just really take a look, really question whether you can connect to a lot of these things, and might be a good time to dig a little deeper.
Right. And on the other side of the coin, right, also just say, you know, I'm in a toxic relationship when you're really not, and these red flags are not there.
Yeah.
Can also be also something that you may want to work on. Why is it without red flags like this? Why is it specifically that you are believing you're in a toxic relationship? What's going on in your relationship?
Exactly.
Because sometimes
what's going on with you, right?
Right. What's going on with you that you believe you're in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
So it's the other way around too.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, I think it's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Thank you, Emmy.
Thank you, Gabby. Bye.
Bye.